Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Well, we mentioned that the four quarterbacks left are pretty good, right? Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, who's reminding me of Magic Johnson in his rookie year. I mean, Jaden Daniels might walk off with this whole thing, Bob. He's that good.
He really is, and he's not making mistakes. I mean, it's so difficult to do what he's done in that first year on the job. And I think the key to him is he's gotten better and better as the year's gone on. We look at that game against the Steelers, in which he really was not that much of a factor. They controlled his running. He passed for over 200 yards, and that's it. Barely over 200. They still, put up 27 points. But I think since that point, if you look at what he's done, he's taken it to another level, whereas I think the Steelers at that point went in a different direction. But the quarterback is the most important position. They got one now. They don't have to worry about that. Daniel Snyder must be just vomiting everywhere.
In 2 years as an owner, has as many playoff wins as Daniel Snyder had in 24 years as an owner, or something like that, a quarter century, whatever it was.
But, the difference? He didn't meddle with everything.
Right.
Some of these guys
have
meddled.
No, he went out and found the right people to run his organization, and they wind up with a quarterback. And the Steelers are just stuck in this purgatory now. Our greatest fears come true. In trying to replace Ben, they reached for Kenny, made a mistake with Mason 2 years, 4 years really before that. Took a swing with Russell and Justin Fields. Mitch Trubisky was in the mix. They're 0-4? Oh, really, 0-5 in replacing Ben.
Yep.
That's not good. So what next? I think this really puts it up in our faces here when you look at the conference championship games. And just to reiterate, nobody's breaking news that you need a star quarterback, but we did this last week, Bob. There have been 24 Super Bowl champions starting with the year 2000. 19 of them were Hall of Famers in their prime. 42% of those Super Bowls have been won by Mahomes or Brady. And the only exceptions were players surrounded literally by all-time great defenses. That was the 2000 Ravens, the 2002 Bucks, and the 2015 Broncos. Three all-time defenses lifted quarterbacks. Peyton Manning was done by then, but a defense lifted them to the Super Bowl. That leaves two outliers since the year 2000. Joe Flacco, who was pretty good.
Historically good in that 1 year.
He went on a Hall of Fame run. So for all intents and purposes, for that period of time, he was a Hall of Famer. And the real outlier is Nick Foles, who one day woke up and outplayed Tom Brady, even though Brady threw for 500 yards that day. So I guess if you're hoping for something like that to happen, sure it could. Plus, they had Carson Wentz that year, an MVP candidate.
So he got hurt.
Who helped them get where they got on the field.
At the time, he was Carson Wentz, the next franchise guy who was going to make a difference and be there for two decades.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
It's just virtually impossible to win if you don't have a guy, and the Steelers don't. So that brings me to this story. You'll see a couple headlines like this, but this is right out of the Tennessean. Nick Suss covers the Titans for the Tennessean, Bob. He looked at every quarterback option they have.
You're talking about Tennessee now.
Yeah, they have the number one pick.
Right.
So they got some good ones. If you like those guys. And that's obviously Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, right?
Not in that order.
No, whatever order you want. But he also talks about the, maybe you can fix them category. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. The Minnesota Vikings category. Maybe you get Darnold or McCarthy. And then the Aaron Rodgers category is one unto himself. But tier one, if they want a veteran in Tennessee, if they don't want to go the draft route, they'd rather get somebody else. Tier one is, are these guys really possibilities? Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford. Bob and Limits, what's your interest? Forget about what you need to do to get him. Forget about everything else. What's your interest level in either one of those guys?
I really have none for either. I like Stafford a lot. I think he's a proven commodity. He's up there in age. If you're trying to win right now, this year coming up, he would make sense more so than Dak. I'm not a Dak Prescott fan. I think he's one of those guys who puts up numbers during the regular season, and when critical moments appear, bad things happen. And I think that's why Dallas hasn't been to one of these games since 1995. So I say no on that one.
I have no interest in either of them. Well, I mean, Stafford yesterday after they lost was talking about the potential retirement.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott, I think, is the most mid-average quarterback in the NFL. And you're not winning playoff games with him.
Overpaid.
He's the highest paid quarterback in the entire NFL. And he's completely overpaid. I would not want Dak on the team.
No, me neither.
Justin Fields can only dream of doing things that Dak Prescott has done.
But he still can do it because he has a runway ahead of him.
Wake me up when Justin Fields has 330 touchdown seasons, including one where he had 37-10.
Are you ruling out that he can't possibly do it?
And one that he had 36-9. I would take Dak Prescott 1,000 times over Justin Fields.
And you're going to take his $60 million with you. And,
$89 million cap hit next year.
And it doesn't, to me, solve still the long-term question about getting your guy. I don't think he's your guy. And if you did that, you'd have to give up a lot. I just don't think it's a good match.
Yeah, and he did that with what, Kellen Morris's coordinator and a very good offensive line and a better running game that he's had recently.
Okay, then every quarterback who comes here will be broken then.
He's an average quarterback. He's just completely average.
That's ridiculous to call him an average quarterback.
He's better than average, but he's not the kind of guy who I think takes it to that next level. What I would say to you, Joe, is that my best bet if I'm the Steelers is looking at 2026 and the karma all leading up to the draft here in Pittsburgh. They could be in a position, if you sign Fields to a 2-year, three, whatever it is, at a modest price comparatively, and try to develop him, fine. If it doesn't work, chances are you're going to sink a little lower, and you may be in a position to draft that next quarterback, and you can do it here in Pittsburgh. I know that it doesn't matter where you take the guy from, whether it's here, Green Bay, whatever. Next year is a more fruitful,
next
I think,
year, Bob,
class.
They're going to do the same thing they always do, no matter who's the quarterback,
well, unless,
which is go 9-8 and get embarrassed in the playoffs and still not have a quarterback.
Okay, then you're going
to not going to sink to 4-13.
I'm saying move more into position where you'd be 12th, 13th picking and you can make a deal or do something of that nature. And I'm also hopeful that I think Justin Fields can actually do some things if he's developed the proper way. I like his talent. I like his arm. He needs to, figure out decision making in the pocket more, how to work in the pocket more. But I've seen guys develop, and I use Darnold as the biggest example. He was all over the place, throwing interceptions to people that didn't exist.
But you still don't like him enough to have him here.
No, because I think he has too many of those things, and he costs too much. I would rather go Fields for now and then figure out some other plan. But you got to have a plan.
I haven't seen too many guys after 40 career starts suddenly have a feel for the pocket, a feel for the game, and a touch on the ball.
But that guy
I haven't seen too many.
Four different coordinators in his time, and he's had a lot of different stuff thrown at him. I think it squelches your development a little bit, don't you?
Sure, but I watched him play, and I don't think he suddenly learns how to play quarterback and becomes a good passer. I'm sorry. I don't think he's an elite runner. I'll give him that, but there are other guys who come in and just have a feel for it. Look at Daniels as an example. They have it. Justin Fields doesn't. Now, I'm not a huge Dak Prescott fan by any means, but given their choices, you call them average limits. The guy's got 213 touchdown passes and 82 picks in his career. In his last full season, he had 36 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and was second team All-Pro and second in the MVP ballot.
Yeah, good for him. The Dink and Dak offense, how far has it gotten them in the playoffs?
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, he's not somebody that can overcome obstacles that are on his team, and he's had a lot of good weapons around him up until recently when they've had to pay CeeDee Lamb and others.
Right, but to call him average, I think, is ludicrous.
Yeah, I don't.
No?
He's not somebody that
You've seen other average quarterbacks finish second in the MVP vote?
Congratulations, he had a good coaching staff around him.
Well,
he beat up on Washington, he beat up on the Giants, he beat up on a bunch of bad teams for a while.
I mean, he's
76. And then they got boat raced by Green Bay in the playoffs.
He's 76-46 in his career. So, again, I'm not saying he's a savior or a great player or anything like that, but compared to what they have, and by the way, he's had some good playoff games. Like, it's not like he craps out in every single playoff game. He's had some horrific ones, I'll grant you that. He has. I think your best point is that anybody who comes here is going to be handcuffed by the scheme, perhaps by a young offensive line, and let's see what they do for weapons. But if you told me the Steelers could go into next season with Dak Prescott and T. Higgins, that would perk me up a little bit.
It'll perk you up. It'll perk you up. I don't know if it gets to where you need to go. Again, I respect what he's done during the regular season. I'm just not a big fan of what he's done in the postseason and in bigger moments. He throws critical interceptions at the bad times, and that's one of the reasons why Dallas is where they are, never winning or even getting to the playoffs sometimes. So I don't know. I just that strikes me as a move I wouldn't want to make.
I hear you.
Somebody younger that I can control, develop. Well, again, I look at the 2026 draft. For now, it's Justin Fields, and I'll go that direction until I figure out who's available next year.
Yeah, I guess I hear that. If I could guarantee that they would
tank.
There
is this belief that Russell Wilson is still coming back here and at a big three-year deal. Would you do that?
God, no. And I'm a Russell Wilson or was a Russell Wilson fan. God, no. Of course I wouldn't. I mean, for all his troubles in the playoffs, by the way, Dak Prescott in the playoffs has 14 touchdowns, 7 picks, and a 92 passer rating. When they beat Tampa in 22, he had 4 touchdowns and no picks in that game. When they beat Green Bay, or actually they lost to Green Bay one year, 34-31, he had 3 touchdowns and 1 pick in that game. I think he's a good player.
I didn't say he wasn't.
He's a good player. He's way better than Justin Fields.
I don't want him, and I'd rather figure out my own plan.
Well, that's the problem. He's an $89 million cap hit next year. Yeah. So there will be all kinds of financial implications. But the original question was, forget about everything else, would he be an upgrade on Justin Fields? And my answer is a resounding yes. Is yours, Bob?
I mean, upgrade, sure. I'm not resounding anything.
Stafford, I think, is almost done. If I had a real team and a real system and weapons, he's still very good.
He showed that yesterday, I thought. The throw to Nacua at the end of the game before he was sacked because Kevin Dotson missed his man, I thought showed you what he's all about. He's a clutch guy. He has been, in his entire career.
Here's the other thing, is that Prescott is low-key almost 32 years old. So under normal circumstances, I wouldn't think about it. If I thought I had a really good team around him, then I would move those mountains. But probably in the end, it's too much money and too much risk for a team that's not ready to win anyway. But that can change. You know, the Steelers have long been loath to go out and buy a football team. They've started to change in that respect by signing guys like Patrick Queen. So they could change the look of their team. They have a ton of cap space. What do you think they're going to do?
They're going to get more of a cap space. They're going to let go of a lot of guys.
What do you think they should do? What's priority number one?
Wide receiver
and quarterback.
Well, who are you going to get at quarterback?
But the quarterback, I don't know if they can solve that this year. So in the meantime, I'll try to load up on my weapons and figure out the next quarterback as time.
So then you'll have a bunch of disgruntled wide receivers who can't get the ball, who are losing games.
So what are you suggesting? You say you don't want
Wilson
back.
I don't know, man.
You got to deal with reality. Reality is there are not many tremendous options out there. You have a kid here who's young enough, I still think, to take another step. How big of a step, we'll see. But I would start there.
And if there was a way to get Dak Prescott, I'd get him. But like I said, I think he's too expensive. I think it would probably wind up being a bad investment because he'd have to stretch out his deal over a number of years, and it would become a mess for a team that's not ready to win. So I guess in the end, I agree with you that probably Justin Fields is the best option. Prescott intrigues me, though, but Justin Fields is probably the best option. I just know you're not going to win with him.
I just think you'd end up with the same kind of excitement that Russell Wilson kind of garnered when they made the signing here to bring him here. People are just, wow, Russell Wilson. I just think you're looking at a guy whose best days are behind him. And I look at Dak Prescott the same way. I just do. That's just me. Maybe I'd be wrong with that. I'd rather just figure out something else.
I guess in the end, you're going to have to. But just for the record, last season when he was healthy, he had 36 touchdowns, 9 picks, and was second team All-Pro, and they went 12-5. But he also had weapons, you know?
Well, that's the thing. They have to work in that department here. And I think weapons all over the place. And I also think this offensive line is going to be under a lot of pressure. next year. They're flip-flop. They're going to move Broderick Jones over. He got worse this season after 1 year at right tackle last season. I thought he'd be better. He was not. Can he be that guy at left tackle? He better be, because they invested a lot in him. And we haven't seen all that much of the number one pick, Fatanu, and he's going to get the right tackle position. I still think he's a really good player, but we don't have a whole bunch of tape on him over the course of years. Just a few games in college, and we'll see what he can do. So that's going to be key. No matter who your quarterback is, your offensive line has got to be better.
Prescott attempted 60 passes in that playoff loss to Green Bay last year. He was 41 of 60. That is unbelievable. They lost 48-32 in that game. Remember how good Jordan Love was in that game?
Yeah, he's another guy who got $53 million.
What other lessons, what other reflections do you have on the Steelers in relation to these conference championship games, O Limitless Wonder?
That maybe they're playing a different sport than everyone else right now.
Yeah.
The teams that are in it, like high-powered offense. And I wouldn't go out there and just get a quarterback to say that you got a quarterback if you don't think it's going to be a long-term fix. That's why I'd be completely okay if they bottomed out this year, or at least whatever the Steeler version of that is, and then draft a quarterback.
But you say you want them to sign elite receivers and spend a ton of money.
Yeah, because I'd like that. Because I'd like what they did in Washington with Terry McLaurin. And yes, you can.
You can bottom out and sign good players?
You can sign some good players, and if you don't have the quarterback position right, you're not going to thrive. And if you have a secondary that still is not very good, you're not going to thrive against a lot of these really good passing offenses in the AFC.
Don't you
want to
see them buy a corner, too? Especially if they're not going to buy a quarterback. They should have tons of money to reinforce their team. They're definitely going to be good enough with Justin Fields to go 9-8, Bob. Maybe even 10-7.
You would think, but then again, what does that do for you?
Nothing.
But if I'm betting on Justin Fields, I'm betting that he could be a better passer. And I think there's a way to develop that. I really do. If you have the right people around you who can work with him in that regard. I think this year was a good year for him in that he didn't have all that much pressure on him. He sat back, kind of took it all in, watched Russell Wilson work.
Yeah.
I think that could have an effect on him positively moving forward. So,
well, a piece of news that relates to all this that came out Saturday was that Adam Schefter revealed that the Chicago Bears were a team that called the Steelers. I wrote about this yesterday. What a golden opportunity for Art, for Mike, and for the Bears that was just neglected, because apparently Art treated the caller, you know, just like they were a telemarketer. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Goodbye. I don't know. Is that the story? Is that what it
That's
was?
That's Schefter's story, is that the Bears called and were immediately rebuffed.
Well, the immediately, define immediate. If it's immediate, like you just described, that's one thing. If they also knew that he has a no-trade clause, and if they went to him and said, hey, would you be agreeable to this? And if he said no, that's immediate also. So who knows how that actually
There's
went
no
down.
Indication from Schefter that they approached Tomlin about waiving his no-trade clause.
But you don't know that for sure.
I'm going to trust him since he's done all the reporting on the story.
I understand, but he didn't say that in his
story. Yes, he did. He said they were informed that Tomlin has a no-trade clause and rebuffed immediately.
And that doesn't mean that they didn't ask him. They could have asked him.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that they didn't ask him.
But the point is, you're right.
If they went and asked him, we'd have a hell of a story on our hands, because it would mean that Art didn't want Mike around anymore.
But I don't know if you'll ever get that part of the story out. I don't know.
Listen,
they gave him that contract, so it is what it is. And they... Again, last year, they did not have to give him one. They could have just let it thing play out.
But they did, so we're
now here.
But they did,
so you shouldn't be surprised that they say no to this.
Why?
Because they believe in him.
I'm not surprised by it, but why wouldn't you go to him? And if you're Tomlin, why wouldn't you consider it? You go to a new... It's a fresh start. This is done. This has run its course. It's been 18 years, the last eight of which have been completely fruitless. They've gone nearly a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game. It's done.
Right. They have 8 1-and-dones. To that point, I hear what you're saying. And I would have been, to me, if I'm in charge of any organization.
Or none and duns. They've missed the playoffs 3 times.
Right. But when they're in their 8 1-and-dones, that's more than any of these other contemporaries that he's always aligned to. So I would ask questions. I always ask. I want to listen to what people say. And if someone has, if you are interested in trading for George Pickens or TJ Watt, I'll listen. I should listen. My obligation is to listen. And I would have listened to that too. And I would try to figure something out if I felt obligated to do it because it's in the best interest of my team. They must not think that way.
Once you approach Tomlin, everything changes. Because then, obviously, he says, oh, you want to get rid of me. Okay, then let's have a conversation about that. That would be a gigantic story. I thought that opportunity presented itself. A nice, easy way out of a relationship that doesn't work anymore.
Let's say that it did go through, and he said, okay, fine, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And he had, what do you think the compensation would have been?
Oh, my God. The Bears? This is the same team that gave up the equivalent of a first-round pick for Chase Claypool.
They also should be on their guard not to do it again.
They might have given them their 85 Super Bowl trophy for Tomlin. Definitely one first-round pick, at least.
I think it would be more than that, given what we've seen from some of these deals in the past.
And then, and the other thing, Bob, is you just can't nobody can convince me that the Steelers and Tomlin haven't thought about what life would be like outside of this relationship that doesn't work anymore. You can't convince me they both haven't thought of it. They're tied together because of this $50 million extension, which doesn't even kick in till next season. Tomlin would get to go to a place where he's celebrated as an incoming hero with a career 630 winning percentage. He gives them automatic sort of, you know, Q rating, integrity, a guy with a great reputation, and he gets what they don't have here, what we've just spent an hour talking about,
a
possible franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
The Steelers don't have to fire him. In fact, it's an amicable parting where both sides get immense rewards. He gets what I just described. They get maybe a chance for this franchise quarterback, or at least
it makes sense
to
I'm
infuse
not
their roster.
It makes sense, but it wasn't going to work because of what they did last year.
Why is Art so afraid?
They didn't even have to go through again. I just. The contract was one thing. I thought if they're going to do it, 1 year extension, whatever.
Yeah.
Three was a little eyebrow raising, I thought, at the time, given what you just described.
Well, for those of us who thought that maybe Tomlin's fate should be intertwined with him hiring Matt Canada and drafting Kenny Pickett and having those both blow up, man, I didn't think that merited a handsome raise and an unusually long contract extension. But that's what he got, and that's where they are. I just wonder why Art is so afraid to move on. What is it? This presented them with an unbelievable, everybody, the Bears, Tomlin, and the Steelers, with an unbelievable opportunity for everybody. It would have been perfect.
But it didn't happen, which now leads me to believe that you're not going to see much, if any, change here, which is really surprising if it doesn't happen.
I know.
And I know they normally take it's early in their process. They will make change. I got to believe they're going to make changes because Mike Tomlin said that on many levels. What are those changes? You know,
for me, the biggest change they can make that would really carry some weight, it's nothing with the coaching staff. There's nothing they can do that matters. There's only one more guy to look at when it comes to coaches. They've changed GMs. They've changed coordinators. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed everything except the head coach. He's the guy to look at. But short of that, I think the biggest sea change they can make is to spend tons of money on free agents and bring in some really significant players. To me, that would be a significant change, right?
Yeah, and I think they may do that this year, mostly because they don't have the answers internally, and they know that. At some of these positions, so
they brought in Queen, but I'm talking about getting
talking
the prize.
About wide receiver.
I'm talking about T. Higgins.
Oh, yeah,
getting the prize of the receiver.
If you
class.
Did that, then it would, it would make a trading of George Pickens easier for them to do, and I believe somebody out there would take him and give you something for him, and then you'd redraft the position. I could see them signing T. Higgins. I could see them then drafting another receiver. And trying to fortify that position really quickly because they're going to need to do that at some point. And you may as well do that now because it looks like a pretty loaded wide receiver class.
Man, I'll tell you what I would do, Bob. And I love that idea. And Limits, you can jump in here. How we fix the Steelers offense, or at least even if we don't think it'll work in the end, the best route toward it. Bob, I forgot that you have to go at noon. Duty calls for you in the television realm. So let's get to some quick questions, the first of which the topic we were just discussing. Let me ask you guys a question. We're going to take a little trip around the league here. Why would T. Higgins want to come here? Like, I know money's the easy answer, but the money's going to be around equal from his best suitors, I would imagine. If you're T. Higgins, why would you go to a place that has a quarterback who has, if it's Fields, very questionable skills passing the ball, an offense that's run by Artie Smith, an overall mentality of conservatism that's put forth by Mike Tomlin and a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. Like, what would be the attraction?
That's a very good question. To me, the number one attraction when you hit this area of his career is money. And if the money is there, he could be probably convinced to go anywhere. But if the money is equal, as you suggest, and I believe the money's going to be big no matter who offers him.
$19 million a year, they say, yeah. Or more.
And then he can pretty much pick and choose where he wants to play. And I think the quarterback situation can hurt the Steelers here for sure. Unless they present a plan to him that, you know, and if I were him, I would ask about, what are your plans? What are we dealing with here? What kind of offense are we running? Those sorts of things. Joe Burrow, I always believe quarterbacks can make receivers look better than they really are. And I do believe receivers, he's talented. But I think if you don't have the quarterback throwing you the right pass, the right situation, all of a sudden things look a little differently. So I think that is a big question he should be asking that any free agent would ask.
City dweller, why would he come here?
Money. Like, he doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be. Like, if I was T. Higgins, I would be knocking down the door of Buffalo, maybe even Jacksonville, because they still have Trevor Lawrence. The book's still out on him. Maybe even Chicago.
How about Kansas City?
Yeah, they popped into my mind. Desperate teams for wide receivers. Kansas City would fit that category. Where the Steelers are one, but there's a huge question marks that people wanting to fire the coach, the coordinator. Is he going to be there, and how successful is he if he is? There are not a lot of things other than if they're giving $30 million to T. Higgins, why he would come here.
Well, let's go into our two-minute drill then. And that is, how much, this is around the divisional round, how much of that game last night was Lamar's fault?
Oh, anytime you make mistakes, it's, you know, he has a lot to do with it. Those resulted in points, so it's big. But I think there are many things that happened in that game that not just him, but Mark Andrews and John Harbaugh. I thought John Harbaugh's going for two when he did. He didn't have to so early, and it puts an onus on them if they miss, which they did. They had to keep going, and you know, at least a problem. So all three of them are complicit in this, I think.
He deserves a lot of blame. Not as much blame as Mark Andrews for his huge fumble in the fourth quarter and dropping a two-point conversion that Lamar threw right to him. But that fumble, guys, I got flashbacks to Justin Fields against the Colts. Like, what was Lamar doing in that situation where he fumbled in the middle of the field?
As Joe said, he was trying to play hero ball. That's what he's trying to do, and he's trying to make something out of nothing, and he should have just, you know, taken the sack.
And it seemed like, again, the Ravens with Lamar and their coaching staff became too Lamar dependent and not just giving the rock to Derrick Henry. And when they did in one drive in the second half, boom, 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 right down the field, they didn't do enough of it. And sticking to what got them there in the first place.
Right. And they didn't give it to him for the two-point conversion.
No, he wasn't on the field for that drive.
It was mine. No, I'm talking the first two-point conversion right. When they ran down the field, just finish it off with him.
Yeah.
Instead, what happened was Lamar threw a bad ball there. I was watching Matt Hasselbeck last night. He was exactly right. And I agree with you, Bob. I never like chasing points in the third quarter. You don't need to tie the game there because if you don't get it, another touchdown for the Bills puts you down two scores at 9
right.
points. Like, what are you doing?
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, you just score. It's 21-19. All right, kick it, 21-20. You still have plenty of time here.
You're in the third quarter.
By missing, all of a sudden, now the next field goal, which they got, two of them, now you're down to where you have to do it again.
Right.
If they had just kicked
extra points, we might still be playing.
Exactly. And so that's never something that
that's
you should
A.
Do.
And then B, to ignore Derrick Henry from the 2 yard line, which they did. Hold on a second. I took a photo of this little treat here, which they did against the Steelers too at the end of the game. Ignored Derrick Henry. Bob. Here we are. Scott Kazmaier. Ravens with Lamar. Get this. Get this stat. Limits, I want you to be perked up for this. Sit up in your seat.
I have my marshmallow.
Ravens with Lamar Jackson are 2-for-9 on 2-point conversions when trailing in the fourth quarter in his career.
How about that?
2-for-9 with that guy.
Nine
with that guy.
And 2. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. So that goes to show you they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing.
Over coaching.
Right.
But my original question was, how much blame on Lamar? A ton. Are you kidding me? They're at the Bills. First of all, he throws a horrible interception, which, even though the Bills didn't convert on that drive, takes away one of your possessions in a game where both teams are capable of scoring on every possession. Mm-hmm. Horrible pass. The fumble completely recalibrated the game The Ravens are down in Bills territory, moving the ball. I think they're at the 35 or so. When he tries to do too much with a fumbled snap, and next thing you know, the Bills are at their 30-yard line. Completely changed the game. Then on the first two-point conversion, this is what I was getting at before, Matt Hasselbeck said Isaiah likely was wide open because a Bills defender fell, and Lamar throws a flat, like, line drive that Matt Milano deflects away. And Hasselbeck said you could have punted the ball to Isaiah Likely there. Like, you put a little loft on the ball. How do you get that deflected? So he has, unfortunately, I really like Lamar. He's great, but unfortunately, to me, he bears more blame than anybody, including Andrews, for that loss. Because you can't have a turnover at midfield on a nothing play that results in a 14-point swing. Right. They're going in to score instead the Bills did.
Right, and that's a killer at that time. They all have blame in this. Whenever you lose, that's the way it is. And those are egregious mistakes that Buffalo did not make.
You know, period. The stat of the day? If Lamar Jackson wins the MVP, he'll have as many playoff wins as MVPs, 3-5 in 7 seasons in the NFL. That's outlandish.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes
the real
wonder,
MVP showed up last night in Josh Allen.
They should change the voting. They shouldn't make – I hate that it's always done at the – if you're really talking about valuable, just wait till the whole season plays out and make your pick. Why does it have to be just regular season?
Well, isn't it in every sport?
Yeah, but I don't like it.
There's a separate trophy for your playoff MVP.
You can have both still. MVP of the year, MVP of the Super Bowl.
Like I said about Lamar, though, they do win. They've won 3 playoff games in the last 4 years. He's been to an AFC title game. He's got to finish the job, I would agree, but they have a chance going in next year.
Had lost, you'd be saying the same for Josh Allen.
Sure.
It's the same thing.
They're operating in a different world than the Steelers, a different sport right now than the Steelers, both teams, and many more.
Yeah, and most of them are in the AFC.
I mean, that was a great battle last night. It was a great
battle. It was fun to watch.
Nobody got on television, Tony Romo, and said the Ravens are quitting or the Bills are quitting, like Kirk Herbstreit did watching the Steelers quit on Tomlin the other night. Nobody's saying that about any of these teams. They all belong at the party. And as I said, the Steelers are imposters at the playoff party every year. They don't belong. Everybody, it's like the party where somebody, told Limits to come in a Halloween costume, but it's not a costume party. So everybody's looking, who's that guy? Who's that? Get him out of here. Not you, Limits, of course.
That's what I do when I wear NBA jerseys to events.
But you know what I mean? That the Steelers don't belong. They don't belong at the party. All these other teams do. But even the Ravens.
Yep. You need a quarterback to be at the party, period, I think.
Listen to this, Bob. This speaks to the idea that the Bills lost the game, or the Ravens lost the game more than the Bills won it. The Ravens are the first team in NFL history. Are you listening closely, Bob? Regular season or playoffs, to lose a game in which they rushed for more than 175 yards, completed more than 70% of their passes, averaged more than 10 yards per pass, converted 70% of their third downs, and didn't punt in the whole game or miss a field goal.
Yep.
First team to reach those benchmarks who didn't win a game. And by the way, that just translates horribly for the Bills next week in Kansas City. It just does. They can't stop anybody.
What? I mean, every game is built differently. Like, I'm not going to say that they have no chance.
Every week. I didn't say they had no chance. I said that those numbers translate like all the other numbers against the Bills' defense. You didn't see the Bills' defense getting dominated last night?
I did, but I also saw them getting key turnovers when they needed to and making stops when they needed to do it.
I mean, I saw the Ravens dropping the ball with nobody around
them. That was more the Ravens. None of that, first of all, Mark Andrews should not have one guy out of the blue come in and knock the ball away. He's just one-on-one. He could have fallen down and then Lamar Jackson, fumble, let it go, bad, the interception, a complete overthrow. Those are all unforced errors in my view.
The Andrews one was a good punch out of the ball.
Okay, but he shouldn't have that. He hadn't fumbled in 5 years. And of all things, a guy took one swipe of it, and that was it.
You had a Henry drop.
He hadn't fumbled in 5 years. Give the guy credit for punching it out. The guy that's usually really good holding the ball.
I'm just saying
Did you miss the games where the Bills gave up 80 points to the Rams and Lions in back-to-back weeks? I mean, I just don't think that their defense is going to hold up in Kansas City. That's all I'm saying about that. I don't think that's a ridiculous
thing. I think we're going to get a Buffalo Super Bowl.
I hope so.
It's looked at as a pick'em game, and the over and under, interesting, is near 50, which I'm a little surprised by that. I don't know in those kinds of games, just because Kansas City hasn't played those kinds of games this year. And Buffalo, I don't know. That seems like a big total of points to me.
Well, they did average 30. The other common denominator here is all these teams can score in the Final Four.
Yeah.
All of them can score. That's the other thing.
But, you know, the other thing is they all can run the football, too.
Here's another question for you. Do you give the Lions a pony pass? Pony famously giving the Steelers a pre-pass for their game in Cleveland this year. Do the Lions get a pony pass for their loss in the divisional round because of the injuries?
I think the injuries are significant. Any team that goes through that much injury, especially on their defense the way they did, you know, I don't know if a pass. I mean, I understood that it was going to be difficult against a team that can do what they did against them. And man, I credit Washington more so than I would look at Detroit and say, well, you guys let too many things happen.
Do
Washington,
you give them the pony pass, Bob? Yes or no?
Yes. Only because of the lots of injuries.
Limits?
They get no pass in my mind. They had overcome a lot of those injuries, especially in the last couple of games when they beat Minnesota. They beat the crap out of Minnesota. They'd won the previous game, I think, to be able to set up against Minnesota that game to win it all and go to the number one seed. They got David Montgomery back. They got Terry and Arnold back. They were at home against a rookie quarterback. No pass. This was their year to do it, and they fell flat.
I absolutely give them a pony pass in this game. Normally, I would be really reluctant to hand out pony passes. I saw a graphic after the game. The Lions lost 6 starters on defense through the course of the year that didn't play in that game, and 7 backups.
Right.
6 starters and 7 backups.
Think about that and just put yourself in the Steelers' frame of mind.
They had their JV team out there, Bob.
Right. That's why I think
now that doesn't give Jared Goff a pass, does it? Remember what I said on Friday about him limits? Listen to this, Bob. It was me, Donnie, and Limits. We were doing our predictions, and I had this tiny little feeling. I didn't go with it, but there was a feeling. There's a little part of me that wonders if Jared Goff has another blow-up game in him. It's very unfair of me, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him. He's had those, remember the 5 interception game he had this year, I think? Bob, that was my feeling. There's 2 guys in the league that some people regard as really good quarterbacks that I do not trust. It sounds like Limits, Prescott's one for him. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy. Don't trust them. I just don't.
Yeah, and I
think they're functions of their systems.
San Francisco has a situation on their hands where they have to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback. And do they believe in him just as you didn't believe in Jared Goff? So there's a lot to be said that he overcame being a 7th round pick, all these things he did, and he was very good in the quote system. But this year, not so much, but they had a lot of injuries too.
There's
so
too much blow up ability there.
How much would you give him, Purdy?
I wouldn't make him my franchise quarterback.
You wouldn't?
No. Would you, Limits?
No. No, I would not.
How about if the price was right? How about if he didn't go into the $50 million
range? I guess if he gave me
range?
A break. You know, he's shown he can perform right in that system, but so has Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, and I think Sam Darnold could have if they hung on to him. They had him there too, so.
Last question before I let you go, Bob. We'll switch to baseball. Quite a kerfuffle. Is kerfuffle the right word, Bob?
Conundrum?
Yeah, at Pirate Fest, with Bob Nutting being there but not taking questions from the crowd. I think if you're there, quite frankly, you need to take questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He should have been front and center. He should have faced all of it. It's his team, and over everyone else there, he has the power to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he should have first of all, I was surprised that he showed up. I thought he wasn't. If you're going to play that game, then don't show up, you know? But if you're there, it's your team, you should be front and center. The first Q&A should have been an hour with him. Anything you want, ask.
Man, I agree. I mean, it was Travis Williams out there taking all the shots and saying, basically, I'm here to answer for him. I mean, he's, you know, I wasn't there either. But man, to have people out front sort of taking all the shots for you, I think that's one occasion once per year where the people who are spending their hard-earned money on your team You have to be there answering questions limits. Do you agree?
I fully agree. And this is the Ask Pirates Management segment that they always do every year. They took it away for a couple of years and then brought it back, I think, last season, where it's Williams, Charrington, and Shelty that are up there on stage. And a lot of people were asking questions about Nutting. It would be nice to see him face the music, but at the same time, we don't see fans asking Art Rooney questions or fans asking Fenway Sports Group questions. So I don't think the Pirates have a reason to do it.
I'm just saying, if I'm the owner of the team, I want to be up front and center with these people. They're paying.
They're paying, and you have 28 losing seasons in the last 32 years. So I would reward those people at least by showing up. I don't know if that's a reward, but respect maybe is the better word.
And you know, there's a
respect
way
respect those people by getting
a way
in front
to
of them.
Answer every question. Really, I've always believed that no matter who it is and no matter what the question. People are going to ask him, why don't you sell the team? He said, because I believe this team is going. Whatever you want to say, you can say. People may say, well, that's not truthful. So be it. At least you answered it. To me, you get points for standing up there and talking about what's going on. And I want to know about your spending habits. And why don't you support a cap? And why don't you do these things? He can answer any of those questions. He's a smart enough guy to do it. He's made a lot of money. He knows how to make money. He's smart. Get up there and answer the questions. It looks terrible if you're not.
I agree. And I think that needed to happen. All right. Coming up, Limits, you actually broke down Pirate Fest a little bit more with some interesting clips. I heard stuff from Skeens, or some from Skeens, that really piqued my interest. And he had a great quote, too. And I wonder, Bob, as we say goodbye, Paul Skeens does not strike me as a wallflower. I think, and it was sort of sad to see McCutchen running interference for Bob Nutting, a guy who got rid of him at one point. I didn't like that. But I don't get the impression that Skeens, if he sees things as he gets older in his career that he doesn't like around here, is going to keep quiet or deliver the company line. No, I could be wrong.
I agree with that.
I could be wrong.
For now, he is, because he's a second-year player.
But he's starting
player.
To dance around a little more.
He is an authoritative kind of guy. I think that's how he works. He believes in what he's doing. He wants all the pressure on him, but he's also willing to say, if things aren't going well, that, hey, this is how I feel, and I'm not afraid to feel it because I'm Paul Skeens, and I'm going to win Cy Young this year. How about him being a favorite at his age, youngest guy ever to be a favorite to win a Cy Young?